Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jordan from Laytonville High School.
And myself, Jesse from Laytonville High School. Today our topic is voting. Why should the youth care? This coming Tuesday is midterm election day. Voters will choose a governor, a congressperson, a number of propositions, and here in the 3rd District, a supervisor. The media has been drenched with debates and advertisements for the candidates and propositions. In our area, there are hundreds of signs for Holly Madrigal and Tom Woodhouse, the candidates for supervisor. In 1971, the laws were changed to allow 18-year-olds to vote. This created a great deal of excitement and controversy. Would the youth have enough political awareness to make informed choices? Would youth take the time to actually vote? For a number of years, the youth voting turnout was strong, but times have changed. In the primary election this past June in California, only 3.7% of 18 through 24-year-olds voted. At the same time, 40% of voters over 65 cast ballots. Based on statistics for the past 10 years, this upcoming election will see only 18% of eligible 18 through 24-year-olds vote.
In the studio today, we have two candidates for the 3rd District Supervisor, Holly Madrigal and Tom Woodhouse. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We're not here to have another political debate. Instead, we would like to ask our guests about youth and voting. We are hoping to hear why youth should take their voting rights seriously and how we can become informed citizens. How can youth become involved in affecting society? Is democracy more than a theory in our culture? We have prepared questions for our guests. Some of them were recorded during our government class this week at Laytonville High School, where our producer, Dan Roberts, made a presentation on youth and voting. We are going to ask Tom and Holly to each respond to our questions and be relatively brief in their answers. We are not looking for campaign promises. We are hoping for ideas that will inspire young people to become involved in shaping the society that we are inheriting. Let's begin with a basic question. How old were you when you first voted, and how did it make you feel?
I believe I was 18. We have a pretty civic-minded household, and so I was brought up that voting was important. So I think as soon as I had a chance, I did it. I don't remember what was on the ballot that first time, but I find it empowering.
I was 18 as well, and it was a privilege back then to do it. So I think among my friends, it would have been huge, like 80% of them would have voted. We were very proud to be part of it and took it very seriously and had the first shocks of our life that we didn't get what we wanted.
So have you guys ever worked on other political campaigns?
I have not. My brothers have been very active in politics and my family has for years, but I've just supported people and never even put signs or bumper stickers or... For years in my business, never put anybody's poster up because a business doesn't want to chase away part of its supporters. So businesses are very reluctant to do that. So no, I haven't, and I've learned a lot, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I participated in the Measure H campaign, which was to ban GMOs in Mendocino County. And that was one of the first campaigns locally that I really got involved in as far as signature gathering and standing out in front of the post office, trying to, you know, share our point of view. And that was successful. Mendocino County actually is the first county, I believe, in the United States to pass that measure. And so that sort of gave me a taste for, you know, political action. But beyond that, I haven't gotten too involved in many other personal campaigns. I was very excited to vote for Obama when he first ran, and so I volunteered somewhat in that, but I try to stay abreast of what's going on politically.
Okay. And why should I vote? Why should the youth vote?
Because it matters. I was thinking about this a lot, and I have been thinking about this in the campaign and how to engage your age group to come out. And one of the main things I keep coming back to is that I feel like the Board of Supervisors and local government is going to be making decisions that affect you guys directly. And so making sure that your vote is counted and that your voice is heard makes it so the policymakers have to pay attention to you. You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If more young people vote, then more people who are running for office are going to be trying to talk to the issues you care about.
Another way of answering it is not just why should you vote, but why should you do anything? Why should you exercise? Why should you work hard at school? Why try? But that's your opportunity. This is your life, and you may believe there's some afterlife, and that'll be great. But to waste this opportunity, voting's just one idea, one symptom of a whole life that's engaged or not engaged. And we really want young people to engage and do something, get involved. Without that, we're not going very far at all.
Thank you. Can you tell us how the votes are counted?
Slowly. We'll be both looking into that after this, but they take them all, the absentee ballots now, and 80% of the people approximately have that opportunity to vote absentee. I miss going to the polls. I don't have that opportunity, and it's really a privilege, and I think that might be one of the things to look into changing. But we have to re-engage people. People have said maybe we should have a holiday to do it or do it on weekends, or there's all kinds of ideas. But really you need people to be excited to do something. They have to want it. It's not tricking you into voting.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say that, yeah, so they gather all the ballots, the absentee ballots. They actually start counting ahead of Election Day. But the absentee ballots that are brought into the polling place on that day, which that's an option. You could have your mail-in ballot. If you haven't mailed it, don't mail it at this point. Just bring it in on Tuesday. Those actually get counted after. So we were talking, all of us, earlier about how we probably won't know on election night who won the supervisor race. I mean, we think it's probably going to be a close race. And so the registrar's office has 3 weeks to officially count everything. And they, you know, they count it very carefully.
And why was there such a long delay in reporting the mail-in ballots last election? Do you think this will happen again in this election?
I do, and I think that that's part of it. Because, unfortunately, because a number of years ago they closed many of the polls. So I've talked to people, like in Covelo, for example. If you live in Covelo, you can't go to a poll in Covelo Valley. That was closed a while ago. So they actually do have a drop-off place at the old county building. You can take your ballot that day. But I think part of what takes so long is gathering all those ballots from the far reaches, whereas if we were gathering it all from polling places, we could count faster. This long time period has only been, I want to say, since they closed most of the polls in Mendocino County.
We are all wondering what other counties do, and I don't think they all are this slow. So to look into other places and see who does theirs on time and how they do it. Maybe we're not investing enough money or personnel, or there's reasons why we're getting this result. So we're going to look into that. Whoever wins, we'll check it out.
How would you modify our electoral procedure?
Well, I like that idea of having a holiday for voting. I mean, I think it's a civic duty, but it also is an opportunity to celebrate. I mean, there's so many countries in the world that don't have the opportunity to vote. So many countries where women are not allowed to vote, where those rights aren't given. So unfortunately, it seems like over the past few years, the greater government has been trying to make it harder and harder to vote. I would love to see, you know, same day registration, things that make it easier to actually exercise that right. And I know that there are some communities that have voting places in businesses and post offices, you know, and just to make it easy. I am supportive of making it easier rather than harder.
I agree. And the whole electoral process is kind of complicated, and we're not going to change that. But we have to make it more fun. Maybe the people that vote would get a holiday and the other ones wouldn't. That would get you up to
good one.
Near 100%.
I would vote then, even though I'm 17.
And why is voting on one work day? Should it be on 2 days or a weekend?
Well, I think that's an interesting idea, and that's one of the things that Tom had just brought up. I know that, you know, in Scotland, when they were having the referendum on whether or not to separate Scotland from the rest of Great Britain, they, for that vote, lowered the voting age. And they did get an incredible turnout because of that, you know, because they were trying to get more people to vote. How could we get more people? And so they actually lowered the age because that was such an important decision for their country.
Mm-hmm. we're definitely going to have to do something, and I don't know what it is, but really, unless people get engaged and vote, this system will not continue, and that's why everybody running for office tries to encourage you, but it's also a survival thing on their part. If people don't participate in what we're doing, it means they're not listening, it doesn't matter. We're not going to have all the freedom we have now unless we fight for it. People fought so that we could be here doing this, just being on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like we get it for nothing. You pay a price for it, and we're going to have to get it together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. So why is so much money invested in campaigns?
I wish it wasn't. honestly, I wish, especially, you know, for president, things like that, where I, in my darker moments, I wonder if someone could run for president if they didn't have millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really unfortunate. Things are changing somewhat with social media and other ways to communicate that I think will reach some sort of tipping point, hopefully. But as you mentioned, it seems like the people who, you know, who have the money, you know, get to, they buy the most airtime and the most TV advertisements. I just saw a great comic that someone posted on Facebook the other day was, okay, I just need to hear one more campaign ad and then I'll be ready to make my decision, said nobody ever. Anyway, so I wish that that money, that investment could be put to use to you know, purchase something worthwhile or invest in our communities.
Yeah.
It really is a waste. And then when you can buy with influence and cover people, we get all this stuff in the mail and it tells you one side of a narrow little thing. It really doesn't try to educate. It tries to make you afraid or angry, get you to vote a certain way. That's the dollars trying to buy your vote. That's horrifying. And the way you would overwhelm that is get a lot of people to vote and just overwhelm it with democracy. That's the only hope. Because as fewer and fewer people vote, the intensity to buy their votes will get higher. But the more you dilute the value of that dollar. And it is a shame. We always try to find money for little projects, and you can't get $5,000 or $10,000, but you can get hundreds of thousands or millions to win and influence votes. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$30 million is being spent on a single senatorial race this election for a job that pays only $200,000 per year. What is wrong with this picture?
I think there's a lot wrong with this picture that we were, you know, just discussing. And there are things that we could do locally as far as like campaign reform. Part of what our money goes towards in these local elections is towards signs and newspaper ads and things like that. And I was wondering if we couldn't shorten the time. Right now, you can put up signs 90 days before the election in the county. So I was thinking maybe we should shorten that to the last month before the election. You know, like you're only allowed to put those out there. I support your ability and right to, you know, root for the candidate you want, but that would cause it to cost less, I think.
Yeah.
If you only had a month to really campaign in earnest. And some countries do that. Some countries have a, you know, like a 1 month campaign season. Whereas like for president, I think people are already running for president now, right? I mean, they're already spending money on this.
Yeah, and I know you have to spend like $3,000 on your campaign to be even considered in the presidential race.
Well, I'm sure.
We could change this. If people want to get involved and come up with ideas like you guys, we can make things different. Because really, the signs are like litter. We get sick of looking at them and they all start drooping and I'm amazed Halloween they didn't all take a walk and get stuck in somebody else's lawn. But people are pretty respectful of the process. But really, 90 days is too much. And we could change a lot of things and make it more fun. You want to make, we're tipping over backwards to protect everybody's rights. But somehow in that collective thing, we're losing our own rights. So we need young people involved with new ideas because we're not doing that good right now.
And I thought Tom and I could get together and make some either doghouses or children's playhouses, you know, because Tom's got the house shape and then mine are flat, so we could come up with the sides and the top.
I had a great idea.
Work together.
We do want to work on things together. We believe in the same things. The house signs, we could partially burn a little bit of them because there's going to be a fire tax and do something about fire safety. Everybody would look at some charred little house or some problem. But it's getting people's attention. You need to educate them about the needs, and we can do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So attack ads drive many people away from polls. What is your opinion on those kinds of campaigns?
Well, I'm really proud that actually Tom and I have both run really positive campaigns. And I think if you look nationally or even statewide, you know, that's not the example that's being set by candidates. And there is a lot of fear and blame and Definitely. Trying to get people not to, you know, there's this idea that people that work together in Congress are, they're sort of being shamed right now. Like, how dare you compromise across the aisle or try to work together towards some sort of policy. But in my experience, that's the only way you get things done. And no matter who wins on Tuesday, Tom and I are both still living here. You know, that's, we're neighbors and we're, you know, we have to see each other in the grocery store, and I need to make sure that, that I can look at him and be proud of the campaign that I ran.
Mm-hmm. We are very proud of it, and I think that's how you change anything, is you start doing it yourself. Like even at school, if you have a problem or somebody's being mean to somebody, your actions are huge. If you don't allow it, it stops. If you walk in and put your arm around somebody, it ends the whole conflict. So we're all much more powerful than we realize. But like you guys, taking this role and doing this thing on the radio, you're empowering yourselves and it'll set you up for big things. We both commented on that on the way in. Mm-hmm. You really have a great ability now. More kids need to do that. This is your life. You got to jump in and stand up for what you believe in.
Thank you. And most of the propositions are very difficult to understand. What could be done to really clarify the issues presented in them?
Well, they print the whole proposition, and you try to read them, and it gets more and more complicated.
Yeah.
It's just difficult, and there's so much money, and then you hear the attack ads, and it gets really hard. When you own the property, the reason things aren't wonderful is when you own property, your taxes pay for all these things. So as you're feel pressured, you vote no on everything. It's a common thing as you get older, you just say no to everything. But we need to collectively pick what we want to spend our money on and do productive things, whether it's, I mean, it goes from fluoridating water to building huge dams for billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. It's complicated, and I don't have an easy answer for that, except we need educated people who can use their intelligence and be involved in this process. Democracy is a wonderful thing. We both believe in it. Most of us do, but we have to do something about it.
And it's messy. I mean, one of the things that bugs me, just drives me bonkers, is when you read the pro and cons of these propositions, is the pro will be, this is not going to raise taxes, and blah, blah, blah. And then the con is, this is going to raise taxes. And, you know, and it makes it really hard to make an informed decision. I've done what I could to have, you know, like bring your ballot parties where people get together. You may not agree with me on an issue, but that's how we find out about stuff, is hearing the different points of view. And, you know, just one example is 46. That's the one with the healthcare rates and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And when I first heard the ads, talk about campaign ads, I heard the no on 46 ads, and the ads made me want to vote for it because they sounded so shady and, like, you know, written by trial lawyers. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I should vote for that because the ad sounds so bad. But then as time has gone on, a lot of groups that I respect, you know, came out no on 46. And I've talked to a lot of local doctors about it, and they're saying this is a bad deal. So, I mean, it's really just about informing yourself.
Yeah.
But the more we can do that, the better. You know, the more we can sit around the kitchen table and get together as a family and all vote, you know, that's what makes it fun and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have a question from someone in the government class.
Would you be on the board of supervisors if you didn't get paid for it? I'm Devin McCaffrey.
Devin, I'll answer that first. No, I would not. It seems like a lot of money. But
are there any aspects of your campaign?
Hold on. Okay, good.
It seems like a lot of money, but for a dedicated person to do that job properly, it's what they deserve. And a lot of the employees, and this isn't a political thing, people deserve to be paid as much as we can pay them. I mean, kids deserve to be paid more and have jobs. And so I believe I work for money. That's what I've done in my life, to sell real estate. It motivates the heck out of you, because if you're not good, you don't get paid any money. So no, I wouldn't do it for free, but I'll bet there are people that would, and that would be very honorable.
I probably would still want to do it. And I'm on the city council right now. I'm the mayor here in Willits, and we, for a number of years, didn't get paid anything. And then we reinstituted a stipend, which is like $200 a month, which barely covers your gas. The thing about... So I think I would do that because I've already had that experience. But the thing that's nice about being compensated for doing this kind of work is it allows you to spend more time. I mean, it's hard working full time and serving on the city council. We do get health benefits, which is important as far as when you think about your overall compensation. But what's nice about being compensated for it is that you get to spend more time and you get to, you know, delve into the issues. And the other tricky thing is that if you don't pay, it tends to skew who decides to run for office. Mm-hmm. You know, so it tends to make it towards folks that are either independently wealthy because they don't need to have an income from it, or retired, which is wonderful that a lot of retirees, you know, choose to give back in that way. But at the same time, it kind of blots out the, you know, the younger working families, you know, can't afford to do it for free.
This is cheating, but I'm going to add this, and I think Holly will agree. It would be exciting to think about our city council, say, paying enough that young people would be excited. They get health benefits and maybe mm-hmm. $15,000 or something. A young working person could be involved in our system because they need money if they're raising kids and working really hard. We need to get young people involved, and if it means paying money to get them involved, I think that's a worthy thing.
But then the challenge comes when you have, you know, political bodies giving themselves a raise. You know, that kind of seems hinky. Even though it may be well-deserved, also at the same time, it's like, you know, it would probably have to be driven by an outside party, I'm guessing.
How about give them a raise, but only for people under 30?
All right, we've got another question.
Are there any aspects of your campaign that you regret? My name is Haley.
Aspects
you
that I regret.
Oh, I didn't hear the word.
I was thinking last night, you know, there's always more that you could do. Here we are a couple days, and I'm thinking, I could have, you know, I could have contacted more people or reached out, you know, more. I mean, we've both worked so hard in this campaign, but it's basically like a 9-month job interview. but it really is. I mean, you're going, you know, for easily 9 months. But I'm really proud of the campaign that we've run overall. I don't think there's anything that I really regret in that sense.
I feel the same way. I think we're both proud, and partly because we've been positive and trying to be role models. We'd invite the kids to come to anything we did and not be embarrassed that we fought or wasted mm-hmm. time. We tried our best to be clear. I do regret one thing, I'll have to admit. I lost some sleep. If you wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning and start thinking about this, guess what? You're not going back to sleep. That's my regret.
That's me with school. Yeah. We have another question from Devin.
Do you think that political awareness needs to be raised in people who are over 18 or just turning 18? I'm Devin again.
Yeah, I do. And I was thinking, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, voting for supervisor could make a difference in your individual lives. And just some examples of that are, you know, we've been talking here locally about whether or not we should make a recreation district. You know, there's things we want. We want more parks. We want more trails. We want, you know, more athletics. And that's one of these things that our local cities and municipalities are having a hard time paying for. So if we were going to make a recreation district, that would be put to a vote of the people. Mm-hmm. So if you were wanting money for, you know, a skate park in Laytonville, for example, which is already underway, you know, that would be something that you could come out to vote for or not, and that would actually impact your life. And if you were choosing to stay in Mendocino County or after school, you know, I really encourage people to go out and see the world and then come home, because only then do you realize how awesome we have it here. We really do. But if you were trying to start a business here, I mean, you're going to have to be dealing with the county. And if you're trying to farm, or if you're trying to, you know, do some sort of business, you're going to be interacting, getting permits, things like that. You know, it matters what the county does.
Mm-hmm. I think, as I recall, by the time you're 18, you either know everything or you think you do. But maybe what we should do is have kids vote in school. If we empower young people, like say they were 10 or 12 and they got to vote in their class about different things and actually get their way about different things to study or different important things, it would empower them and show them. It's like showing people the good that they get from being involved. You gain a huge amount because you live it and you learn it. Let every kid feel that by voting. I know that seems silly, but the younger the better. Why not get them before they know everything?
All right, we've got question number 4 coming up.
What are the problems with the voting system in America? I'm Jaden.
Jaden, that's a pretty all-encompassing question.
We could talk about what's working in the voting system, and that would be true as well. It's just simply not working when a smaller than half are voting and making the decisions. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree? That's not right. And then when the money is poured in to try to influence those people and the issues are so difficult, the reason they push the propositions on us is that the legislature doesn't have the courage to deal with these things and don't want to take the heat. So they try to push it off on the public and get out of that responsibility. There's a lot wrong with it, but I think, and Hollywood would probably agree, that you just change things one little step at a time. And it seems frustrating if you're young and you want immediate results. I'm still like that, too. But if you just start and make one little change, it empowers you and lets you know other things can happen. And I think we both believe in.
Yeah, and I was talking to someone, I mean, talk about national issues, that maybe for president you should have to have a single term of 6 years. You know, because what we have now is as soon as you get into an office, people are raising money for the next office. And that's just really lame, if you ask me. I do think, though, that it is a self-fulfilling prophecy where if young people don't vote, then, you know, people in political offices don't, you know, consider their opinions valuable and so aren't, you know, angling to make sure that they're representing what they want. And not just voting, but running for office. I mean, you guys could run for office. I first ran on the city council when I was 27. And I think people were wondering what the heck I was doing. But at the same time, I think it empowers others to consider running for office themselves. You know, there's a lot of people in our community that have really good ideas, really good thoughts on things, but they don't see themselves as leaders, which they really are. You know, so encouraging people to put themselves out there to become part of the political process is one of the best ways to engage others is by putting yourself out there.
I wanted to ask a question. Australia has a fine if you don't vote. You're fined $50. What would you think about a system like that in America?
I think that'd be great if you put it towards something like the food bank or towards young people and education to make them smarter and want to vote. I think that's a great idea. People react for money. That's what agencies now do, is run around. If you own something and you do something wrong, they give you a big fat fine, and that's how they pay for everything. It's insane, though. But I like that idea.
It would have to be, you know, it would have to be absolutely everyone, though, because the things that I'm seeing that are making it harder for people to vote are things like, you know, ID laws or really when people are having to take time off work, potentially, and are having to jump through all these hoops to be able to vote legally, that's just nonsense as far as I'm concerned. The, you know, studies have shown that there's very little voter fraud that happens, and yet all these things are being put in place to protect against voter fraud, which is encouraging, you know, people of minorities to vote less. You know, I mean, that's who is being dissuaded from voting, which I think is the absolute wrong direction. We need to be getting more people to vote. Mm-hmm. and more people across the spectrum, you know, not just the property landowners, but, you know, younger people, you know, of both genders.
Yeah.
And all diversities.
All right, another question coming up.
If someone gave you $1 million to spend however you'd like to spend it, how much would be going towards yourself and how much would be going towards the community? Hmm. Where would your priorities lay if you got that amount of money?
That's a great question, and I actually think about that. I think about an armored truck dropping a bundle out, and would I give it back? But really, I think people who run for, I know Holly and I both want to make the community better, and there's so little money, and you come to government and beg for a little bit, and they say, well, we don't have any money, and then they go do something ridiculous and waste it all. It'd be fun, and I think that's part of what either one of us would do as supervisor, because a little bit of money, even all the raffle tickets, all the things you support, all the kids' things. It's really hard to say no to young people who are putting out their energy and asking for the courage, will you buy this to help our club? That's where some of our money will be going. That's a worthy cause. You see all these powerful people in our community that continue to support kids, put out all this money for sports, constantly giving. It's really amazing. It's something we should all be very proud of, and we try to do what we can.
So if I had, and I actually think about this probably more than I should, if I had $1 million, I would buy the Van Hotel here in town. This has been a long time thing of mine. It's this empty shell of a building that's a beautiful building, and I would want to turn it into a culinary school. That I think about these things. And my husband, full disclosure, he knows about it. He knows that if we win the lottery, unfortunately, buying the Van Hotel is on my short list. And that's just, you know, growing up here in this community, I went to Willits High, you know, I went to Bechtel and Brookside. Seeing that building has been empty and vacant it's not empty right now. There's a couple businesses in there, but it could be so much more. And it's right in the heart of our community. And it could be I like to do things that have growing impact. So if you did something like a culinary school, you could teach our young people skills. You know, they could get into the food economy, which we have this whole local food movement here. I mean, it could radiate out. It's probably going to take more than $1 million, though.
Still be really cool, though.
All right, the final question coming up.
How would you improve voter input among youth? I'm Aaron.
Yeah, we've been talking about this, and I want to thank the government class in Laytonville, and for having a government class. I mean, the fact that you're even talking about it is really important. And we've talked a little bit today about ways that we think that we could engage people more, which I'd certainly be willing to explore lots of those things. If we could take class days to, you know, to talk about what's going to be on the ballot and why it matters and whether or not it's an impact to you. I mean, that could be interesting if you could just go down, and that's what we've done at these ballot parties. You know, we've just gone down the list. Like, well, what do you think about that? Okay. You know, or like Tom's idea with the voting, it would be very interesting to be able to say, you know, so-and-so won the election for supervisor, and the students of the school district, they voted for so-and-so. You know, that would be interesting to see how it would differ.
Yeah, getting people to realize that they're getting a benefit. People don't want to. It's like getting people to exercise, getting them to drive carefully, getting them to not talk on the phone. Unless they see the benefit from themselves, they just don't care. So somehow you have to show them that it's worth doing and they're going to benefit. And I think empowering people and getting them involved in issues, and we have to grow our voters from a very young age and just work at it.
So is there anything else you'd like to add to the discussion of youth and voting that we failed to ask?
No, just to, you know, thank you guys so much for having us. I mean, the fact that you're having this radio show, and I'll run home and listen to the call-ins that happen, because, I mean, that's really what it takes. And my whole thing is just that I hope that you all realize that it's not just, you know, that if you're engaged, it's going to build on itself, and people will address your issues more, and you'll get to see more of the fruits of that if you get involved, if you run for office, if you volunteer on a campaign. I mean, it's a great experience to just try that out and see, you know, to see what the organization is like and things like that. So I just want to encourage you to keep working on it.
I agree 100% with my opponent. And I wanted to tell you, you really ought to work at getting more adults to come into the classes, more people who are running for different things, or more people that serve in different ways, and just mingle the adults, because we need to be exposed to your energy too. We have what we think are the great ideas, but if we're doing things and it's not involving you, it's not going to work anyway. Somehow we have to mesh. It shouldn't be an odd day when an older person comes into your class and shares, and you share with them, because both of you benefit. So thank you for what you're doing. It's more important than you realize.
Thank you. So thank you so much, Holly Madrigal and Tom Woodhouse, for joining us on Youth Speaks Out today. We wish you both luck in Tuesday's election, and we hope that everyone in the listening audience will participate in the democratic process by voting. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
Very good. You guys are great.
Thank you. We'll be right back. watching the step in search of El Dorado, but you haven't found it yet. You might be an old man with his whole life at his back, and you can hear eternity whispering down the track. Or maybe you're a woman or just about to be, and you can feel the generations swimming in your sea. But you know that it's coming just as surely as the dawn. The battle for the future, baby, which side are you on?
Come on, come on,
come on, come on, come on,
come on, come on,
come on, come on, come on,
come on.
Come on, come on, if you're coming, which side are you on?
Which side are you on?
Come on, come on, come on,
come on, come on, come on.
Battle lines are drawn.
Battle lines are drawn.
Come on, come on, come on,
come on, come on.
Which side are you on? There's a restlessness out in the street. There's a question in the air. How long, if this stuff goes on, will our country still be here? People know the game is rigged, even as they play. They see their dreams and expectations slowly slip away. But you have come to occupy, and with your courage see how to turn this country into something more like democracy.
Come on, come on,
come on, come on, come on,
come on, come on,
come on, come on, come on,
come on, come on,
come on, come on, come on,
come on.
Which side are you?
Which side are you on?
Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Battle lines are drawn.
Battle lines are drawn.
Come on, come on, come on.
You are listening to Youth Speaks Out, and I am your host, Jordan.
And Jesse.
And we are both students at Laytonville High School. We will spend a few minutes talking about what Holly and Tom just said about voting, youth, and the electoral process. Then we will ask you to call in and join the discussion at 456-9991. We host this program to increase understanding between all the age groups in our community and all the different perspectives. Jesse, did any of their answers surprise you?
I'm actually surprised that, when we were asking a question about if they would still run for office and try to get in if they weren't paid for it, I was kind of surprised that Holly said that she still would, because, I mean, that's still, like, I mean, I know that she wants to do it for her community, but it's still a lot of time invested into something, and, like, even if you have to work another job, it's a lot more time taken away from you that mm-hmm. you could be spending on it, but I thought it was pretty cool that she said she would still run for office.
Yeah, I agreed with that, and I also agreed with Tom's answer. He said that, no, he wouldn't, because they need to be paid. That's an important thing, and I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, I think both are really important. I mean, like, if you don't get paid, that shows that you want to be a part of the community, like, you know, that you're really invested in it, mm-hmm. but also, a lot of times, you need to be paid so you can spend, like, all the time necessary into what you need to do.
Yeah, so you can focus on that.
Yeah, so I agree with both the answers. So, Jordan, how are the elections run in France?
In France. I read up on this for the show, actually, and in France, it's kind of interesting because they were bringing up points like this during the our conversation, that there's only a certain amount of time that elections can be run, and the 3 months before the campaigns begins, it is prohibited to run any kind of advertisement, but in the month preceding the campaign, the start of the campaign, or the month preceding the election, advertisements are run for free
mm-hmm.
and equally among all the candidates.
Yeah, I know that's, like, the same for Germany. Like, if you're running for an office, you can't purchase any advertising spots for radio or television. And so that, like, it definitely limits it, but, I mean, it doesn't, like, you can't really have attack ads then. Yeah. So I thought that's pretty cool, too.
And there's a lot of financial restrictions in Europe. Yeah, and that applies for most of Europe, the election policies.
What are the financial restrictions?
The financial restrictions, I am not 100% sure on what those are. But candidates whose campaign accounts are certified by I'm not sure who, may be reimbursed up to 50% of their expenses by the state if they meet certain conditions. So up to half of their campaign costs can be reimbursed to them.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Or reimbursed.
Yeah. Yeah,
there we go. I don't know what I'm saying. All right.
Yeah, in Germany, the length of election campaigns is not defined by federal law. So state and local laws limit the campaign billboards to a few weeks before the election. How do you feel about that?
I don't know how long we've been seeing the
Woodhouse and Holly Madrigal signs.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had a big problem with them before, but I just realized that they've been up for a long time.
Yeah, I know. When I first saw them, because I live up Bell Springs, just past Laytonville, I saw them, I was like, what? When did we start putting up election signs around here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really been used to that, because, I mean, of course people have their vote, but, I mean, we've never had, like, the signs up there, but since the community has been growing up on Bell Springs, I guess it's... They've just been putting up signs and getting bigger, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, did anything surprise you about France in the
about
election
the way,
process?
About the way European countries, specifically France, run their own things?
Yeah.
Yeah, it surprised me that... Because, well, these were a lot of the issues brought up by the two candidates, Tom and Holly, that... That's a big issue, is financial spending, that it needs to be more controlled, and the same with the amount of time that elections can be run, that they should be limited to maybe a month, as Holly said, before the actual elections.
So, there's a quote here by Jeff Miller. According to the U.S. Census, the most common reason people give for not voting is that they were too busy or had conflicting work or school schedules. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and that's also something that they brought up, is that it shouldn't be on a work day. It would increase the number of voters by a lot. And what was the number of 18 to 24 year olds? Less than 4%?
3.7%, I believe.
Yeah, 3.7% between 18 and 24 year olds, and they're the most busy. Yeah. So that would affect them the most. That could be a really big part of the reason why there's only 4% of people.
Yeah, and like. If anybody in our government class was 18 and was eligible to vote, I know it wouldn't really be possible to go up and, like, vote. Well, I mean, it's at the school, but, like, at a lot of other schools and stuff, it's, like, the voting ballots aren't at the school, so it would be a lot more difficult for people to go up and vote, and I don't remember, the time limit for it, but... Like, a lot of times you're not able to do it, whether it's, like, sports or extracurricular activities, or if you have, like, night classes. There could be tons of reasons.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I had a question about, I'm trying to remember it. Yeah, I remember it now. I was saving it from the show. The propositions, how they're worded, really odd. I'm not sure if you've ever read a proposition.
No, but I see the commercials on all the time.
Oh, yeah. Those are rough, yeah, because the one thing I noticed about those is you watch them, you see the commercials, and they're both, one is yes on something and the other is no on something, and they look like they're for two completely different propositions. They don't even correlate.
Yeah.
So they really give you a bare minimum amount of information that they possibly can, and they give you everything that makes their side seem better.
Yeah, I agree with Holly, too, when she said that the commercial for Prop 46, how it looked all shady, because I believe I saw the one that she was talking about, and it was, they're totally contradicting each other as well.
Yeah, most commercials like that that seem really, I don't know if this is just me, but the low-budget commercials like that they do to save money and make them really serious, I kind of zone out on. I'm not, is that, do you do that too, or?
Oh, well, I mean, when I first see them, I'm interested just because it's, like, they're all, like, completely serious and, like, if you don't do this, then this will happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't Prop 46 the one about, like, health records and stuff? I don't remember which one that is. But, yeah. So, that one was definitely kind of shady because it was like, if you vote yes on this, then everybody has access to your health records and it's easier for like identity theft. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It just got too far.
Yeah, and those aren't even necessarily the propositions. Those are just the ads for the propositions. Yeah. The propositions are worded so densely and confusing. It's really hard to understand them, and the little information that you do understand is the things that they want you to, that would be the most, I'm trying to find a way to word this, the most important thing to their cause.
Yeah, and like Holly said, how a lot of times they contradict each other, like, oh, this won't raise taxes on the, like, pro side, and on the cons, this will raise taxes.
Mm-hmm.
They, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, teachers, and concerned friends and listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about youth voting and the electoral process. When did you first vote, and how did it make you feel? Have you continued to vote in every election? Were you shocked to hear that fewer than 4% of Californian 18 through 24-year-olds voted in the last election? Do you encourage other people to vote?
Do you think our electoral system should be modified? Would you prefer voting for 2 days, say on a Saturday and Sunday, rather than on a busy workday? Should all voting be done by mail-in ballots? Do you trust the results from voting machines? How did you feel about the outcome of the 2000 presidential election?
Would you like to see limits on the length of time that campaigns are run? Would you like to see strict restrictions on advertising spending? When you read the propositions, do you clearly understand what they mean? Do you get frustrated when you see ads contradicting each other? Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio, or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call in and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
Yeah, they... Oh, I completely lost my my thought there. Yeah, go ahead.
I have another quote here. And it says, if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. Do you agree with that?
Ooh, that's actually a really interesting point. If I don't think that quote would be if one person had the power to change something through a vote, then it would be illegal. But that's the purpose of democracy, is to get. I'm
get
not sure how
people,
to answer
yeah.
that question. Yeah.
No, I agree with what you're saying, because I mean, the whole point of democracy and the everybody voting is to have
everybody's
a change.
Opinion. Yep. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. A couple of things I wanted to say is, well, first of all, I'm from England, and in England, as I think it is in most European countries, every candidate who is running for office, for prime minister, they all have exactly the same budget, which is limited and very strictly controlled. They all have equal airtime, which is free, and I think that is an excellent way to go, because that means that it's not money that's winning the election, it's the person, because they really have to put themselves out there with the amount of time they have. And the second thing I wanted to say is that I've always respected, I mean, I'm an older person, but I've always made a point of really listening to younger people. And the reason is that older people tend to have kind of already formulated their opinions and tend to be stuck in their ways. And younger people have sometimes incredible creative ways of thinking about things, which older people ought to listen to, because it's the generation gap which I think causes a lot of problems. And I think the more I hear of younger people getting involved in how the country should be run, the better the country will be. Because, as I said, young, innovative, they're not always necessarily right, but they're creative and innovative. And if you can combine that spontaneous creative thinking with the experience of older people who have lived through certain things, I think we have a lot better outcome in the whole way that the country is run.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I completely agree with your, with just about everything, yeah.
Yeah, I think if younger generations worked with older people, I mean, because the older generations know how everything works, like what works and what doesn't, and the younger generations have like more issues to that maybe older generations don't quite look at as well, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think necessarily the older people know how things should be run, and that's where the generation clash comes, is that the older people think that they know. But if you keep an open mind, I'm constantly learning new ideas from younger people. Just because I'm willing to, and I don't consider younger people to be less than. I think that they just have really fresh ways of looking at things. And if older people woke up to the fact that younger people can come up with ideas that are phenomenal, then I think things would be better all around.
Yeah, I think we can all learn something from each other. Thank you, caller.
Yeah, thanks.
yeah, I completely agree with that statement that campaign finances should be limited. We were reading earlier that in one senatorial race, $30 million are spent on a position that pays $200,000 a year, yeah. Which is just nuts.
And like Holly and Tom both said, that it's harder, to get people to raise money for like certain campaigns, but to actually change something in the community or whatever it is. But when it comes to electing someone, all these people are just throwing out money to try to help get them into office.
Yeah. And the number is 456-9991 again.
But yeah, I know, I believe it was this much money, but I was reading before that it costs like $3,000 at least to be considered for presidential.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi there. Am I on the radio?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, great subject. Wow, 4% of the 18 to 24-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if something happened, like a video game came out or something that nailed everybody in that age period, in that age group, and about 70% went out and voted and did that every time and they knew what they were voting for? Things could change really fast, you know, in a matter of 5-6 years, it would seem like.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I agree with taking all the money out of the campaigning. Imagine the kooks you'd get up there. On TV, if it is for free, you know. But who might have some good ideas to add to things? Plus, you have to have so many, 250,000 signatures to get in the office or something, just to get into the vote and run. Yeah, you guys are the age. How do you do it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can have all your friends at high school jacked up, and they're, you know, jacking up two people. And, I don't know. Is a spontaneous crowd thing, you know, everybody getting text everybody. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, though, at our school can't vote yet, and a lot of people can't even vote, like Jordan, he can't vote even in the next election coming up. Yeah. So he has to wait a long time.
Thank you, caller.
That's important for high school to start teaching kids, you know, if all the bills that were written went to all the there are several high schools in the nation, and part of their thing for the year would be rewrite it so everybody could read it and understand it.
Yeah, we have a government for that. Like, we always have a government class for seniors, but I think incorporating a lot of that would actually help in the government class, actually learning more about the government.
Yeah, and how it works. I don't know what school is like now, but you know, that was the big test that had to be passed to get out of eighth grade into high school. If you didn't pass the test, you didn't go into high school. You stayed back a year, and it was the Constitution was what the test was. Do you guys still have that to get out of grade school?
No, we don't have that, but we have something called a KC test to graduate high school.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, so it's there's a lot of work to be done, you know, and thank God a lot of films are coming out now because of Netflix and all that. People are doing documentaries that are really good.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot just by watching that stuff. And it's kind of scary.
Thank you, caller. We've got another caller on the line.
Okay, bye.
All right, thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Back to that, if voting could change things, it'd be a legal statement. And if you look at what happened to Haiti or a while ago Chile or many places under the our government's control, when they voted in the wrong people, why, they were kicked out. And so I think you have to look at voting in that light. And the fact that as the franchise was increased from white male property owners, there became less and less usefulness to voting. And even back 100 years ago, there were many instances of, say, socialists or, this is before the Russian Revolution even, where when people were, the immigrants did vote in the wrong people, why those elections were nullified. So, yeah, this is all a big scam to keep you guys thinking that the rich don't control everything.
Yeah, thank you, caller.
Oh, and the person that quote was, if any voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal, was by Emma Goldman.
Yeah, we were trying to find that. Okay, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Jordan, and...
me, Jesse.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Through our organization and coalition, we're working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email JAMA at jaymashields@pacific.net. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached at mail by P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 5 weeks. That is December 7th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in December.